I would not normally say this, but I'm excited Cam's not here. Because, Cody, I was loud wrong yesterday. I'll admit it. I'll be the first one to come out and say it.
Oh, we both are.
I'll be the first one to come out and say it. I thought the Hawks were going to get smoked.
They should have. It was a...
The previous 10 quarters had led me to believe the Hawks were done. They were washed. Speaking to some folks that were up there covering the game, even just last night, Cody, they had typed out their season recap for the Hawks in regards basically to them losing last night. Like, it's basically about done. Go ahead and wrap it up. And what do the Hawks do? They pull it out. 103-100 last night. They get the win. The series is now 2-2 as the Hawks head back up to Philadelphia. But I needed to come out here and say this. And again, I'm kind of happy Cam's not here right now just for the simple fact that he was right and we were wrong.
The hype's real inside the studio. We have Southern Britt here, and she was watching nothing but hype videos of like Hawks after they won and stuff like that inside the arena.
The fans were going nuts. The phone was going so crazy I could barely see. I could barely see their face.
I was wrong, dude. I was wrong. Yeah, you were wrong. Yeah, dead wrong.
No,
dude.
Not just wrong.
Yeah,
dead loud wrong.
Because I was like, dude, they're going to get smoked, and nope.
And as I say, how loud wrong we were.
Oh, and
it comes. One, the only, Cam Urshry. Cam, we were just apologizing to the audience because we were loud wrong yesterday about the Atlanta Hawks. I said they were done in five. I still thought that was going to be the case midway through the first quarter when they were down 10. And they were down double digits into the third quarter. So, I mean, I was still confident in that prediction. But at the same time, I'm happy to be sitting here and saying that I'm wrong, Cam. But let's dive into the game because I do think the biggest storylines are Trae Young and Joel Embiid just like they have been the entire series, but for different reasons than we're used to, right? Trae Young last night, only 25 points. You told us yesterday they would need at least 30 from Trae Young to win last night. You got an even better performance out of him, though, I think. 25 points, but a career-high 18 assists for Trae Young last night for the Hawks. And then on the flip side of that, Joel Embiid goes 0-for-12 in the second half, and Ben Simmons only attempts one shot. So, just a really weird game for Cam, but one the Hawks find a way to win.
Yeah, Trae Young had 18 assists but two turnovers. So that's what I look at, the two turnovers. I think that's a 9.0 ratio or something like that, if I'm doing my math right. But basically, Trae Young was magnificent. I mean, he shot bad from the field, but he did what he needed to do. And Hawks are in prime position because Embiid looks gassed. He looks like that knee is catching up to him, that torn meniscus. So, yeah, I like to say, come on the show and say, I told you guys so.
Say it.
You know, the series, yeah, I told you so.
There we
go.
That wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
That wasn't so bad.
The series is going seven. Cody, it's going seven.
No, Cody, but do you, DJ Mason commenting on the stream said he wants to know, where's Cam? do you want to let him know where you were for the first 4 minutes of the show?
I had computer difficulties. That's what I had.
Luckily,
I was trying to pair my AirPods, okay, the computer, head freezing. So, but I'm here to tell you guys, I told you so.
Luckily, we're not still dealing with, listen, we love Savannah State, but we're not still dealing with the Savannah State Wi-Fi. We had
we were the other day. Hell yeah.
Yeah, we had two of your former classmates on last week, Cam, from Savannah State Baseball. And let's just say that Savannah State Wi-Fi reared its ugly head again. But again, the Hawks get a big 103-100 win last night. So I want to go around and we can reevaluate our predictions for the series. All right, and Cam, I'll start with you. Do you still see this one going to seven?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I see it going seven now, and the Hawks have a chance to actually win the series because I think Embiid is gas, and I said it before, I'm not a believer in Ben Simmons like that. He has to get a jump shot before they can take that next step, and he doesn't have it.
Cody?
I said seven in the beginning. I doubted my prediction after seeing what the Sixers were doing. Back to seven. Think the Hawks are going to lose in seven, but I do think it is going to go to seven. Joel Embiid does look like he's having problems out there with his health. And dude, freaking Ice Trae out there, dude, killing it. Like, come on.
Yeah, 18 assists.
I think it's going to go to seven.
18 assists last night. Southern, you're kind of hopping onto this train a little bit late here. You get the benefit of four games already in the series.
Right.
But what's your prediction going forward?
All right. My prediction is that it's just going to end in heartbreak.
Well, I mean, that's probably fair, but like in games or seven games.
It's a Georgia team, so what can I say?
This is amazing, and I'm glad you're here because this is amazing analysis. This is so true.
It's a Georgia team, so it's going to end in heartbreak. I'll shoot for seven. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think
if they lose in seven in heartbreak, then that means they're going to be up by like 18 points at some point in game seven. We're all going to be believing, and then they're going to blow it, right?
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly my point.
All right, that's fair. I feel like I got to stick with what my prediction was. I'll say the Sixers win in six, but I'm kind of worried about that now, Cam, because I'm with you. I don't think Joel Embiid looked healthy. Ben Simmons has no offensive game right now. Did you see the video of him that was trending, Cam, where he was taking the warm-up shots and he was trying to bank them in and just brick after brick? I know some fans have come out and said, oh, he's doing that so he could read how the ball was coming off the rim for Trae Young's floater so he can get boards. But, yeah, I mean, Ben Simmons just nowhere offensively.
Yeah, Ben Simmons has all the talent in the world, but just cannot shoot. I don't know why he hasn't put it together, but I'm big on the Embiid thing because, yes, he looked like a monster the first two games. If you look at the last two games, he hasn't looked like that. And that knee's catching up. At first, I had the Sixers winning this series, and now I'm looking at it like, okay, the Hawks may be able to steal this series. They really might.
Hot take! Cam, I need you to put your name on this right now. Are the Hawks winning this series?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Hot take. You have to go with the hot take sometimes. I just don't like how Philly looks. Danny Green's out for the series. He would have came big last night on the defensive end, rotating with Trae Young. So, no.
What do you think of Kevin Huerter getting the start last night?
Okay, the thing about Kevin Huerter, I like Bogdanovich more than Kevin Huerter. That's just me, but, I mean, either way, they're both knockdown shooters, so that's how I look at it. They're both knockdown shooters.
Again,
and they're long. They're both 6'7".
It seems like they found a lineup with Bogdanovich, John Collins, and Gallinari that has worked really well against the Sixers. You think that's just the fact that they can match up size-wise with them with that lineup?
Oh, yeah, because Gallinari is like 6'10". Bogdanovich is about 6'6", 6'7". So, yeah, that can match up size-wise. And then Simmons is not an outside threat. So you could put probably Gallinari, who's not too fast, but long enough to guard Simmons.
So there's four of us on the show right now. There's only one of us that are over 6 foot. That's nuts.
Oh, that's pretty average.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you putting Cam's business out there like that?
Cam's as tall as me.
I do want to ask you this because Southern brought up a good point. I thought we were in store for another Atlanta moment last night. How nervous were you when Seth Curry got that shot away clean at the end?
I wasn't nervous. Well, I was nervous about them being down 18. I said, oh, man, maybe my prediction might be wrong. Yeah. And then they came all the way back. I was like,
that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about anything else but his prediction. He was like, I just want to be right on second down.
I just want to be right. That's what I was telling my mom last night. I want to be right when I come down on the show today.
There you go.
I want to be right.
Well, you're the rightest of us so far.
Yep.
The Hawks could get blown out in the next two games and be done in six. But who knows? Cam's got the Hawks winning this one in seven. We do have some Braves news to dive into. In an interview with the Athletic general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, updated the health of some of the guys. And we were talking about this, again, I'll admit, yesterday seemed kind of bleak for the Braves health-wise. I don't know if old Alex Anthopoulos was listening. Maybe he was just cruising through Savannah. Who knows? But he did provide an update to the Athletic on some of the guys we were talking about yesterday. And apparently, Waskar Yanoa, Travis d'Arnaud, and Mike Soroka could all be back come August. Where, again, we were talking yesterday about the fact that Brian Snicker, not 2 weeks ago, came out and said Soroka was done for the year. And then immediately came out like an hour later and recanted that statement. But we've all just kind of been under the assumption that Soroka was going to be done. Travis d'Arnaud, we didn't think we were going to get him back until the playoffs. And apparently we could get him back in August. And then Waskar Yanoa with the bonehead moment of the year, punching a bench after a bad outing, has been out. And honestly, this
selfish
one, well this one's looks like it's going to be a little bit longer than what we thought. You thought you would get him back sometime in July,
yeah,
but now it looks like it's going to be August. But some health updates there for you for the Atlanta Braves. Some other news out of Major League Baseball. They're expected to announce, per sources, that on Tuesday they will suspend players caught with any foreign substance for 10 days with pay to help curtail the widespread use of grip enhancers by pitchers around the league. I know a lot of pitchers around the league right now facing some pretty tough questions because once this started getting reported, all of a sudden some ERAs started going up and some spin rates started going down. So a lot of pitchers around the league, specifically Garrett Cole, has kind of become the face of this. I know Trevor Bauer, another one, he's had some rough outings since this started being widely reported. Apparently they're going to start cracking down on it. 10-game suspension with – or 10-day, excuse me, suspension with pay. So basically if you're a starter, you'll miss two starts.
Yeah.
If they catch you with a foreign substance.
Yeah, I was – we were talking to Kevin about this yesterday, how they're – from what they're saying, from what
your squeaky chair is
what I got from Kevin – what I got from Kevin was they were having it inside of their ring fingers, inside their rings, and they were twisting the ring, getting it out, and using it on their hands and stuff like that. So that is not confirmed, but from what my man Kevin has seen on the old Twitter net, that might be a thing. So the way they're doing it. Oh, yeah, that's another word I made there, Miss Southern Brit.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's interesting. But, Cam, you go across any sport, if you don't have a rule in there for it, guys are going to use it, right? You're going to find any competitive advantage you can find. And these pitchers have been using it. And I will also say this, Southern, if the batters want to get high and mighty about pitchers using foreign substances, then I would also like the batters to go out there and not wear gloves and have no pine tar on their bats.
Whoa.
I mean, if you want to get high and mighty about it and be like, well, these guys are out here. The reason I have a 200 batting average isn't the fact that I suck this year. It's the foreign substances the pitchers are using. That's why I have a 200 batting average. It's not the fact that I've been terrible all year. It's that. But also, yeah, I'm going to use gloves that, like, were literally – I could hold on to them and a helicopter could lift me out of the stadium and carry me out. And I'm going to have pine tar on my bat as well. So, like, if you really want to be –
I see your point.
If you want to be that high and mighty about it, don't wear gloves and don't use pine tar.
But if the thing about the grip enhancers is they were being sketchy about it. They were pulling it out of the rings. Can they not make a proposal to make it happen? Like a glove? Or
if you're treating it like you're cheating,
that's
then
what
you're
I'm
probably
saying.
Cheating, dude.
But I mean,
you know what I mean?
That's like, exactly
that's all
what
I'm
saying.
But there's been so many reports. I mean, this is like a couple years ago. You had the thing where like pitchers would like dig their fingernails into the ball to try to get more grip on them, and so like the umps would check the balls every now and then if there's a foul ball or something like that and see that ball and throw it out, like if they found that. So it's
ridiculous.
There's always gonna find ways. I mean, what happened to the old days of just the good old spit ball? You know, you spit in your hand, you get a little extra grip on there, you throw the old spit ball. Is that hygienic in a pandemic? Probably not.
Yeah, pre-COVID times.
The good old spit ball, and they also used to have to work at the docks afterwards, too.
Right,
is that what you're trying to say, dude? That old school?
No, I'm just saying. Listen, if there is an advantage to be had and there's not a rule for it, but I mean, that's probably true. It's like if they just were blatant about it and using it, yeah, but again, no foreign substances, so they're going to have to find a way to cheat. I mean, wouldn't be surprised if they go as far as just like, we're going to put a tube of it inside the glove. And then, like, so when I put it in here and I close the glove around the ball, it's going to be on.
It's like a little grease gun inside of it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah,
not only would I not be surprised, I almost expect it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You'll never know until you know.
It's like every other year with like baseball in the 90s with steroids. A few years ago was trash cans. What are we getting into?
Well, I mean, I do think it's fascinating because baseball is really one of the only sports where this happens. Like, you've had, at least when I was growing up, the big thing was obviously steroids, but also corked bats, right?
Oh, yeah,
you would have bats explode, and there you just see the cork go flying everywhere. You had that.
Sammy Sosa, right?
Sure, but I do think it's fascinating because players have come out and said that Major League Baseball, depending on what the free agency class is, so say it's more power hitters that are about to be coming up as free agents, Major League Baseball will deaden the baseball. And so all of a sudden, those guys who were coming up on contract years who are used to putting up 35, 40 home runs, all of a sudden you have a dead in baseball, and so you're not putting up as many RBIs, you're not putting up as many home runs, and so all of a sudden those contract numbers start coming down a little bit. Flip side of that, if you have a bunch of pitchers coming up on big contracts, then all of a sudden you have those live baseballs where that thing just goes flying out of the ballpark. So, I mean, Major League Baseball in and of itself is sketchy. It is.
It's a dirty business. Huh?
It is. I mean, I just from growing up and watching Major League Baseball, half of it is about actually covering the game, and the other half of the coverage is scandals, right? Yeah. You have people like chasing Barry Bonds, trying to get interviews with him about using steroids. Alex Rodriguez like got caught using steroids. Jose, you had Jose Canseco in front of the United States Senate. Like, that's how ridiculous Major League Baseball is.
And what was it? The old Miami's, at the time, was a Miami Marlins a manager, right? Came on the Lebatard show, was talking about how shady their deals get and all that stuff.
Oh, no, you're talking about...
Yeah, I don't want to misquote or anything like that.
David Sampson used to be the president of the Florida Marlins and then the Miami Marlins. Yeah, no, he does a great job on his podcast talking about a lot of the dealings in and outside there. But that's not so much the like just the shadiness of cheating in the sport of baseball. That was just more so the business of...
Oh, all of it around, dude. It's just...
But, I mean, that's everyone. If you want to talk about that, that's talking about public money and getting stadiums built. That's not just professional baseball. That's every single professional sport in the United States tries to get public money to get their stadiums built. That's not just baseball. It's a dirty business. But I love baseball because so much of it is...
No, it wasn't just that. He was talking about, like, the contract stuff and all that stuff.
If you want to just play the David Sampson show right here...
It's just like... I mean, the way they screw people over and...
Denver Broncos not just screw over a guy
who played three games in 2 years?
I know, but if you want to talk about professional teams screwing over athletes, why are we just sticking to baseball? Again, the Denver Broncos, because a guy was trying to stay in shape during a pandemic away from the facility, tore his Achilles, cost him $12 million.
And he only played three games the year before that. That's fine. So he's going to go two or 3 years and not play a game?
You were lecturing me about contracts before the show mm-hmm. started today. He signed a $12 million contract with the Denver Broncos. But because he was trying to stay in shape for the Denver Broncos and got hurt, they void his contract and won't pay him.
And I think they should pay him. I'm not just saying baseball is the only dirty sport.
I mean, you're hammering baseball.
I can hammer baseball, and I can hammer NFL too.
It's all dirty, but we were talking about baseball and how fun it is to watch all of
dirty cheaters.
All of the.
You know who doesn't
almost,
cheat?
It's almost tabloidish.
Freddie Freeman doesn't cheat. That's
almost
it
tabloidish. I wish Freddie Freeman would hit, but that's a different
story. Hey,
we got to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We're going to talk some college football when we come back. We do have a big show coming up on 3 and Out today. We'll catch up with Chris Hummer of 247 Sports. He covers the transfer portal for them. Could the NIL stuff be affecting the transfer portal and where we're seeing and why we're seeing kids transfer? Also going to catch up with our good friend McLean Baxley, formerly the Savannah Morning News, now with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Going to catch up with McLean, talk some Hawks with him. We are going to do a U.S. Open snake draft with our good friend Rich Stiles of the Back Nine Boys. That went pretty well for me last time, and then I got smoked on the golf course in overtime, so there is that. And then coming up at 5 o'clock, you will not want to miss this one, Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. I mean, I don't know if there's another guest you want to have on to talk about the name, image, and likeness stuff. The dude was literally, if you watch C-SPAN, behind the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, reporting live from Washington, D.C. So we'll catch up with Ross Dellinger coming up at 5 o'clock as well. Got to take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk some college football after this. Welcome back into Second Down right here on ESPN Radio. Christian Gokel alongside Cody Queen, Cam Urshery, and pleased to be joined by Southern Brent on the show today. We, of course, presented to you by The Uniform Source. Did want to dive into some college football news. Again, the storylines around college football have been really two things: name, image, and likeness, and the 12-team college football playoff. We spent a ton of time on the 12-team college football playoff yesterday. I did want to go back into some of the name, image, and likeness stuff because we are 16 days away now from, in this state and states across America, name, image, and likeness laws, state by state, going into effect. So come July 1st, Georgia football players, Georgia softball players, Georgia Southern basketball players, all around the state, they will be allowed to profit off of name, image, and likeness coming up, right? The question that has been raised around the transfer portal is this. Are we going to start seeing players from states without name, image, and likeness laws transferring to schools in states with them already in place? We've already seen some of this. I know Georgia got a basketball transfer from Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Few, Gonzaga's basketball coach, was one of the guys interviewed in that hearing in D.C. last year, and that's something he brought up, is you were at an extreme recruiting disadvantage. Cam, I want to start with you. How significant do you think this is? Because think about what's happened the last couple weeks, right? You have basically the NCAA saying you get one free transfer. So you're allowed to transfer wherever you want. For the most part, that's been the case anyway with the waivers. But now you can transfer if you want to transfer. Penalty free one time, right? That's come through with the transfer portal. You've had the name, image, and likeness laws that are going to go into effect a little over 2 weeks from now. How big do you think this could be?
It's big for certain programs. It just depends on the player and the program. There's some players, I don't know the states in particular where the law isn't passed yet or will be passed, but it might be some players where they're going pro and they're not worried about it. They know once they go pro, they're about to make millions of dollars and they're not worried about it. They just want to win. And there's some players in college where they're really good college players. They want to make their money in college. And if the pros does come about, it comes about. So it's big. Like you said, the guy from Gonzaga transferring to Georgia, I mean, some people might think that's small, that's huge. Gonzaga just went to a national championship last year for college basketball, and that might deter them from going this upcoming year because that's a pretty good player transferring. So I think it's a huge deal. You're going to see players do it a lot, and it's just the new landscape of college sports in general.
Well, I mean, Southern, you look at it, and you were asking about the states, Cam. Georgia just got a player in Eric Gilbert from Louisiana. I kind of find it interesting. I'm not saying this is the sole reason, but I think it maybe had something big to do with it. The state of Georgia, again, on July 1st, will have a name, image, and likeness law. Louisiana right now will not. I think this is going to be really big, specifically in recruiting inside the transfer portal.
Oh, for sure. And I think if we look at the past couple decades, sports has taken a major shift from being just sports and athletes, you stay in your lane, to now it's sports, you're a big part of media, a big part of pop culture, and you're almost expected to speak on modern topics. So these guys are going to look at these opportunities benefiting from your name, image, and likeness and say, I have an opportunity to have that platform. I'm going to take advantage of it, so I might as well get paid.
Yeah, and how much of it do you think is us having to kind of define what we mean by name, image, and likeness, right? Because I think a lot of people point to the old school way of making money in advertising, right, where it's like, oh, you can go out and do autograph signings, or you can go out to a car dealership and be in a commercial for them. I don't think that's where any of these 18-year-olds' heads are at. I think they're thinking about, I can do gaming streams now and make money from gaming streams because people will follow me and watch those. I can make money from my social media, and like, if I'm an athlete, I can get like a Gymshark sponsorship or something like that. How much do we have to kind of recalibrate what we think these sponsorships are going to look like?
Gosh. I mean, that's a loaded question because we can go into, like we were talking about last time, the minutiae of all of it.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, these 18-year-olds to 22-year-olds, that's where their head is at, because that's where a lot of this generation is getting their money, is being social media influencers. And when you have that large of a platform, why not take advantage of it?
Well, and I think we have to kind of, again, reevaluate, Cody, what we think of the word job, right? Because it's people say social media influencer isn't a job. And I think a lot of people would say, let's go back to what the root of actual advertising is. Advertising is, I pay you money so my brand gets exposed to X amount of people. And the money goes up the more people you can expose my brand to, right?
Yep.
That's the reason we don't have a Marlins Park anymore. It's Lone Depot Park, right? Is I spend money so everybody who comes to a Marlins game is coming to Lone Depot Park, and when the TV announcers say where they are, they're saying Lone Depot Park, right? It's the reason it's not Fulton County Stadium anymore in Atlanta. It's Truist Park, which was SunTrust Park, and before that, Turner for Turner Broadcasting and Ted Turner, right? There's a reason this all changes, because people want to reach the masses. And so when you say social media influencer, I think the first thought for a lot of people is, that's not a real job. It is if my social media accounts are followed by tens of thousands of people.
Yep.
And I know we've referenced Paige Bueker on here, who plays women's basketball at UCLA. She's the most followed college athlete in the world. You don't think she could be pulling a ton of money in? I think in the hundreds of thousands on her Instagram alone. You don't think she'd be pulling in a ton of money right now if Connecticut had a name, image, and likeness law, you don't think Nike, Adidas, places like that would be going after her so she could be wearing the newest Nike shoes in her Instagram post? I just think when we say, nah, that's not going to work to something, that's not a real job, you usually have been left behind.
And with the social media game and everything, if we're all in our younger years, not as much as me, you know, I am the youngest,
there's only one
obviously.
Guy on the show.
I am the youngest, obviously,
that
but
has that three at the beginning of his age.
But this is, this is going to push a lot of these players to actually take social media more serious. I don't know if they're going to start hiring people to do their social media. It's going to turn into a whole entire different ball game. Once this stuff gets passed, it's like going to be a monster. It's going to be a monster just for social media alone. And that's, everybody's talking about signing autographs, doing all this. My head is exactly where your head is. Social media gaming platforms. I was actually talking to someone last night. They were saying if they would have been able to do what they're going to get, that they're getting ready to do with NIL, that they would have got into streaming more. They would have got into all of this more, but they weren't, so they didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the kid, you know who I'm talking about, is pretty good at video games too, so he would have been a pretty good streamer.
But I don't even think
it matters
that they are good, right? People will just go watch them because it's like, hey, that's one of my athletes at one of my schools and they're playing a video game I like.
Yeah.
They'll go watch that and they'll be able to get sponsorships like that. But Cam, how upset, because Cody mentioned it, you're gonna have, especially some like the higher level or like the more well-recognized athletes, they're gonna hire people to help them with this, right? They're gonna hire a production crew of at least like two or three people to film them throughout the day so they can make content for their YouTubes and for their Instagrams. How upset do you think Kirby Smart's gonna be the first time he's trying to do a weight training session and his one of his quarterbacks or his wide receiver, his DB, has like three people in there like filming him and he's wearing like a sponsored shirt while he's working out and Kirby Smart's having to deal with camera crews inside of his weight training facility? I mean, I think it's gonna take a grand total of 3 minutes for there to be like a new bylaw inside of those football contracts and say, no film crews in here.
Yeah, he'll be irate because Kirby Smart comes for that Nick Saban tree. And he's kind of a little old school. A lot of them old school coaches is not going to like this at all. You see, Coach K, he kind of said this is my last year because of things like this that's going on. It's a new landscape. So I can see him being upset, but it's the new norm now. Got to adapt as a coach.
I just find it completely fascinating because these are some of the biggest changes we've ever had college football. And college football is a money-making machine.
And not only college, I think sports. When's the last time we had something this big happen in the sports industry alone?
That's a really wide open question for you to ask me right now.
Huge.
But it's, it is pretty massive. But in terms of college sports, this is massive. But college football is a money making machine. But I think we've seen just this past year college softball, college baseball, women's college basketball. There's money in all of it because TV loves this because you don't have to pay actors, you don't have to pay writers, you don't have to pay anyone. You just have to send a camera crew out there and a couple of announcers and you have a product. And so live sports is really what's keeping, I would say honestly, cable TV viable
right now
is because you have to have that subscription to be able to watch these live sports. And it's just you can, but it's not the same thing. You can't TiVo a live sport, right? You can't record the Super Bowl and watch it later because you kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, right? It's supposed to be something you do as a community and watch. So these live sports are just a money-making machine right now, and it's just going to keep getting poured into it. But just going back to my point, these two things with name, image, and likeness coming in college football and a 12-team playoff.
Insane.
They're two of the biggest events that have ever happened inside of college football. And it's going to be massive for the money. So I just think this is going to keep blowing up. Really excited. 2023 is going to be a real interesting year inside of college football. Got to take a quick break here. Going to come back. We have a very important conversation to get into about movies. We'll do it when we come back right here on Second Down. Second Down on ESPN Radio is presented to you by The Uniform Source. We'll catch up with Chris Hummer coming up at 3:30 there on 3 and Out from 247 Sports to talk more about the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness. But I think a very important conversation that we need to have here. And Cam, I just need you to be emotionally available in this segment, all right? I know a lot of times you put on a tough veneer and you just try to act like just a super strong, emotionless guy, I need you to take those walls down. And everybody, honestly, listening in, I need you to take those walls down. And we're just going to have a real conversation about this. Because we were having this conversation in the office earlier. I know. I think Mike Greenberg maybe started it when he was talking about like getting emotional about his son graduating from high school.
Oh, I don't even think about that, dude. Yeah.
It's coming fast for you.
I don't want
that. But that being said, what scene from a sports movie made you cry or makes you cry every time you see it? And Southern had just an awful take, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But I mean, Cam, this is the first you're hearing about this, so I'll give you a second.
He's crying Cody, now. Look at him.
Look, he's upset. Cody, I know you're doing the thing where I'm tough guy.
Stonewall.
I don't cry in movies. But
I don't cry at all.
Yes, you do.
I actually have a condition where I can't cry.
I've seen you cry on multiple occasions.
Yeah, it's okay. Sometimes I'm a crybaby.
Usually it's when the Broncos get officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, the Patrick Surtain thing, too. I swear to God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack when they got him. Nope, didn't like it. So you want to know which scene, which movie?
Which movie and the specific scene in it where you get the goosebumps, the eyes well up, your throat gets a little tight. What scene in a movie makes you cry?
In a it's just a sports movie, though.
Yes.
Okay. Friday Night Lights, when they lose against Dallas Carter. And that's unfortunate, dude. And then the music plays. And
it's tough.
You just crumble. Knowing that they did win next year was, you know, nice. But the boys,
Mike Winchell and Boobie Miles didn't win it, man.
Yep. Those seniors put their heart out there. The Permian Panthers, you know. See, dude. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mike Winchell.
Boobie Miles.
Mike Winchell.
They're all just gone. They didn't win that championship.
It has a bunch of other really good scenes, too.
You want me to ruin that movie for you?
Get you one of these.
You want me to ruin that movie for you?
No, don't do it.
Southern, you want me to ruin that movie for you?
Do it.
Southern. They actually like lost in like the quarterfinals. Like the actual team.
No.
Yeah.
Why you gotta do this? Britt, why'd you encourage him?
You
can't encourage this kind of behavior on the show.
I'm just bringing facts.
It just confirms my hot take that the TV show is
You mean bad take.
No, that's a terrible take.
We're bad take.
We'll get to that in a second. The right take.
We'll get to that in a second.
Not a good take.
But what's a scene from a sports movie that makes you cry, Southern?
Listen, every sports movie makes me cry. I'm not going to lie here. Me and you are opposites, Cody. But We Are Marshall. I mean, how can you not cry when the movie is about a tragedy and a sports team coming together? And then you're at the cemetery with Matthew McConaughey, and it makes me cry.
Like when he goes to, like, recruit the old, a defensive coordinator, and he's, like, working on the shed, and he's trying to get him to come back and coach the team. Yeah?
I mean, you can't go wrong with McConaughey, dude. Can't go wrong with McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey will, he'll get some tears out of you. All right, Cam. Just let that exterior down. Be emotionally vulnerable with us.
Oh,
I'm like Cody. I'm not an emotional person.
You guys are you're by yourself your room, just letting yourself feel the feels.
No. I just look at it as good, but I have a favorite sports movie.
I don't need your favorite sports movie. I need to know the one that made some tears appear in your eyes. Things got misty. Someone was cutting onions. Come on, Cam.
Yeah, probably Love and Basketball. It's that movie. I guess you could say that. But that's about the closest I could get when they were playing one-on-one. The guy and Sanaa Lathan, they were playing one-on-one, and I guess they was finna break up, and he just said, checkmate again, like, play again, and basically, like, double back saying, let's fall back in love, get back in a relationship. I guess that's the closest.
That's the closest
emotional part.
Hold on,
Cody,
before you go again,
I did cry.
And now it's a waterfall effect for you, like, you're just gonna keep starting emitting things. That's okay, that's where we're
going. No, it's just one.
It's a therapy session, but,
only one.
Is there any movie, period, that makes you cry?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Well, not make me cry. I've never cried about the movie, but dang. You know, kind of upset me a little bit. I watch, like, Marvel movies upset me. I love X-Men, like Wolverine. stuff like that.
So when he yeah, that thing happens to him at the end of the latest Wolverine, like that got you?
Yes,
yeah, spoiler Logan, alert. Yes, spoiler alert. Let's be real careful. All right, so though, I'm just going to put this out there because I think we've all seen this movie. Have you watched Marley and Me?
Oh, dude, don't stop. Don't do that. I lost my boy last year.
Have you watched Marley and Me, Southern?
Don't want to do it.
I honestly have not because I've heard that it makes you cry. Yeah, so
I can't do that.
Can't watch Marley and Me and then get back to me.
Like a baby, dude.
So you wanted to go again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hardball.
Oh
my God, dude. That broke me up, dude. Like, oh, my. When the little boy.
And Keanu Reeves is.
Like, dude.
Yeah, he's giving the eulogy at his funeral.
Like, come on, dude. Like, Hardball, if you don't cry at Hardball, you're soulless.
Yeah.
Like, but if you
now, I won't give Cam this. Cam maybe was in elementary school when Hardball came
out. I was just going to say that. If you're too young to see it, okay, I get it. But if you have not seen it, watch it. It's, dude, that is one hell of a movie.
I'm a sucker for boxing movies.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know what it is about boxing movies.
You're watching Cinderella.
Yeah, that like directly like ties to my tear ducts. I don't know what it is. I'll get misty-eyed watching that. But no, you said it. Cinderella Man, where he's fighting Lasky, I think, is like his first fight back after like 5 years. He was washed up, working on the docks, Great Depression, living in New Jersey. They have to like, his wife sends his kids away because they can't afford to pay for the heat. And so like, catches that right hook, his mouthpiece goes flying out, and then he's getting like the flashbacks of like seeing his kids empty his bed and stuff like that. So dude picks up his mouthpiece, throws it back in, and smiles at dude. Like, you just gave me your best shot and you're smiling at him. That gets me every time.
Yeah.
That whole movie.
That's a good one.
That whole movie.
But you asked him what movie gets you
period.
Crying. Like, just that's,
oh, there's a lot for me.
Mine, I'm a big crier, but it's the Bastogne scene from Band of Brothers.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That gets me every time.
Speaking of Matthew McConaughey, the final, like, closing arguments in A Time to Kill.
Okay. Woo.
That'll all right. Get you going.
All right.
Cam, I don't believe that you haven't cried in a movie.
Still no. Look at him.
Have you ever cried at the end of a sporting event?
No, not at all. Logan is the closest movie that got me almost teary-eyed.
Broken,
I'm like, I'm like, Wolverine died.
Can't, oh, spoiler alert. Yes. Sheesh.
Yes. You haven't seen Logan?
No, I've seen Logan, but what if someone out there hasn't?
He dies in the worst way, dude.
You know what? It's like 3-4 years.
Well, okay, let's do that quickly. What is the time frame where spoiler alerts are eliminated? Because according to Cody, it's 2 weeks before the show actually airs.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you best get on them leaks, because I saw them, boy.
The last time the world was actually close together for one thing was Game of Thrones, where we all were watching Game of Thrones live, and Cody would come in and like be like scouring Twitter and the internet for leaks and just spoil things.
Yeah.
And usually you were wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, I was wrong 99% of the time.
I could probably pull up a text on my phone that says Ripe Sansa, like, because like, you were trying to spoil it for me. Guess what? Sansa's still alive.
Yeah, she's
all right?
Unfortunate.
She's the Queen of Winterfell?
Queen? Oh, technically, yeah, because they're their own kingdom.
Yeah.
Of the North.
Yeah, Queen of the North. So she's still kicking, and you and your leaks can get the hell out of here. She's like your predictions. We'll take a quick break. Final segment of Second Down coming up next. All right, Southern has a terrible take that she wants to get to here.
Boo!
So before we do that, I'm going to let Cody give me the controls back here, because I do have to pull this up and make sure we have the proper atmosphere to this before Southern embarrasses herself here. Listen. You are entitled to your own opinions, and they're inherently wrong. So go ahead, tell the audience what this take is and why you think it.
Okay, I know someone out there is going to back me up. So, I mean, but I feel confident Friday Night Lights, the TV show, is better than the movie.
Why?
There's so many reasons why.
Well, list them. Because I'm playing a reason right now why it'll never be better than the movie.
I mean, the TV show, better characters, more depth to the story. The movie has more football, I'll give it that, and that's why I like that. But the TV show, it grabs my soul.
That's 90% of a good sports movie. It's sports.
But there's still sports.
Name one character in the show that's a better character than just Mike Winchell's grandma.
Oh, you're gonna pull a grandma into
or
this?
Or how about one better character than, I don't know, Booby Miles?
All right, I feel like I'm just up against it today. All of y'all are against me.
You're talking to a bunch of dudes.
It's because Booby's playing with black Nikes on his feet. That's why.
That's 1,000%.
We talked about Minka Kelly. We like her. I like her. I like Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good reason I like it. Taylor Kitsch is fair.
Kyle Chandler, you can't ever go against a movie
Kyle
with
Chandler.
Him.
I do Kyle Chandler. I think the reason you're doing that is because he's a UGA grad. So I think that's why Southern's doing this. But that being said, just an all-time bad take. We'll come back. Southern will join us again on Thursday. 3 and Out coming up next.